Good morning. I'm glad everyone could be here on this beautiful Lord's Day. And I'd like to welcome any visitors. And glad that you could be out with us to join us in worship. I am glad that our country has gotten more of a spiritual mindset in the last few months. And there's this idea, and I've had people tell me, well, I've been baptized. Well, that's great. But was it for the right reason? Was it the right baptism? Because we have people who don't understand what true baptism looks like, what it is for. Now, I could tell you that in Acts 2:38, our main text, it shows us what true baptism is. Peter tells us, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. But what I want to start out this morning by doing is looking at the different baptisms mentioned in Scripture. Because there are other baptisms that took place. But we know those baptisms no longer are for us. But also there's a third one that we need to discuss that's very relevant in our world today. So let's first start off by talking about two of them that right now. First, we have the baptism for repentance, as we see in places like Matthew chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. It says, therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say to you that from these stones, God is able to raise up children to Abraham. And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. So this baptism for repentance is what John the Baptist was doing. And we know John the Baptist was sent to prepare for the way. He was making the way clear for the one who was coming after him, who is greater, which was Jesus Christ. And we know that Christ would be baptized. John would baptize him for repentance. But we look now in Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1, and why we no longer are baptized for repentance. Acts chapter 19, starting in verse 1, it says, now it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper regions and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, no, we have not even heard if the Holy Spirit is being received. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him. That is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we see here Paul telling them here within this text, this baptism is no longer needed. This is what you need to do. You need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so we see the baptism for repentance. We know when Christ came and when he died, because at that time that John the Baptist was baptizing, they were still under the old law. They were not under the new at the moment. And so we see that this baptism is no longer for us. It was for those, and of course, John preparing for the way, making a way for Christ who was coming after him. And we know at one point, John understood, I would decrease and he would increase. And so John knew when Christ was on his mission that his time was coming to an end, that it would be Christ who the people would flock to, because Christ, who was the Son of God, who was the Messiah. But now we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, we do receive the Holy Spirit when one is baptized, absolutely. We do not receive it in the same manner that the apostles received the Holy Spirit. But with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we see in Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 5. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel? But he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the end of the earth. So when we look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we see it back in our text in Matthew 3 with John the Baptist, are we baptized today with the Holy Spirit? No. This was for, and as later on in Acts 1, it is confirmed, they, that promise of the Holy Spirit, they would receive. They'd be in the upper room, and they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And we see tongues of fire appear above their heads, and they're speaking in different languages, and all the people around them are hearing their languages spoken. Once again, it was for the apostles, not for us today. Now, concerning fire, that is judgment. That is judgment. So they were, we know, baptized with the Holy Spirit for the apostles, and the fire is judgment. It is not literal, of course not. It is symbolic with fire there. But we see it is the coming judgment that would come. And so when we look just at these two, we understand that these different baptisms just here are not relevant for us today who are under the new covenant, new law. But there is one that's very relevant, excuse me. Many will teach that baptism is an inward or an outward show of an inward faith. It is proclaiming their faith. It is not for salvation. It is not to have our sins washed away. It is to show that our faith is true. You are saved before you are baptized, which is not true. Because when we look at the second point here, when we look at the meaning of baptism, we understand the Greek word baptizo means to immerse. And so we know that puts away the other views of baptism, the sprinkling, the pouring. It means to immerse. In John chapter 3, verse 23. John chapter 3, verse 23. And John also was baptizing in Anon near Salim, because there was much water there and people were coming and were being baptized. John the Baptist, back to him. He was immersing. He found a body of water where people could be immersed. And so really, if you wanted to call him John the Immerser, that's what a lot of preachers would call him. But also in Acts chapter 8, verse 38, we have the Ethiopian eunuch. Now, if it was sprinkling or pouring, we know that the Ethiopian eunuch, I'm sure Philip would have had a little jug or a canteen, whatever you wanted to call it, on him. There would be no need for what happens next. It says, and he ordered the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip as well as the eunuch, and he baptized him. And they came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him, but went on his way rejoicing. And so we see here there was much water. They went down into the water, and he came up out of the water, indicating immersion. And so, once again, the sprinkling, the pouring is the wrong view of baptism. It's the wrong teaching. You are not saved when you are just simply sprinkled or poured on. So there's another view of baptism. But going back to the idea, it's a inward show of an outward show of an inward faith. Is that the right idea? Is that what baptism is? Well, no, it's not, because when we look at the purpose of baptism here, the first thing we need to understand, it is for the remission of sins or forgiveness of sins. Acts 2:38, back at our main text. And Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It is for the forgiveness, remission of sins. Let's go to the second point here. To wash away your sins. We see that in Acts chapter 22, starting in verse 15. "And you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Why do you delay? Rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." It is for the forgiveness of sins and to wash away your sins. Third point, the third purpose of baptism, to put on Christ, to be clothed in Christ, as we see in Galatians chapter 3, starting in verse 27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." So to put on Christ. The fourth purpose, to enter the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, "For also by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit." At this point, we have been added to the church. One does not join the church. One is added to the church. The fifth, for salvation. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. "Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal of a good conscience to God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Once again, baptism now saves you. This indicates salvation does not happen before. You are not saved before, like so many doctrines teach. A lot of people will go to places like Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10 and say, right here it shows that you are saved before baptism. This is why context is important, because in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9, "that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Okay, you take that text out by itself. It's what it says. But a few things we need to keep in mind here. Well, one thing we need to keep in mind, Paul's writing to Christians. They're already Christians here in Rome, the church in Rome. And then if you go back to Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us what baptism is, what we are doing. We know that we are being buried with Christ into the likeness of his death. Our old life, our old self is being put to death. And the blood of Christ will wash over us, cleansing us. And when we raise out of that water in the likeness of his resurrection, we are now perfect. We are now a new creation. We are perfect. We are white as snow. As white as that screen, maybe even whiter. And so when we look here in verse 10, "For with the heart a person believes, leading to righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, leading to salvation." I love that translation, because what that is saying, you're not there yet, but you're on the right path. Leading to, that is the right translation, or like the New King James will say, unto salvation, which means you're moving towards salvation. We know that confession is important. Absolutely, just like repentance. Repentance is important. Before that, belief, faith is important. Once again, baptism by itself does not save you. Absolutely. Faith by itself does not save you. They all work hand in hand, faith and obedience. And so when we look here, it is for salvation. You are not saved before you are baptized. It is not, once again, a showing of our faith, a proclamation of our faith. No. Baptism now saves us, Peter would say. And Peter, once again, in Acts 2:38, what must I do to be saved? Peter would answer, repent and be baptized. And so, once again, when we look at these different baptisms, there's only one, the correct one, which is for the forgiveness of sins. And the purpose of it is to wash away our sins. It's how we are added to the church. We become part of the body of Christ. We are clothed in Christ when we are baptized. It now saves you. How about the authority? The authority of baptism. Well, we know that it is done in the name of Jesus Christ, just as Peter would say in Acts 2:38. Repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. But also Matthew 28:18-20 says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We know Christ has all authority, and it was given to him by his Father. He goes on to tell them, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them, immersing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all that I commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The correct baptism is done under the authority of Christ. It's not under a council. It's not under a creed. It is under the name, or in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ has all authority. And we see with the Great Commission, immersing them, once again, coming from the mouth of Christ, this is how you make disciples. But who is a good candidate for baptism? What makes you a candidate for baptism? First, those who believe. Without faith, you won't please God. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, as the writer to the Hebrews says. Faith is important. A true believer will believe the words of Christ, will believe Christ, but will also go on to obey the gospel. Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. A lot of people will use this text in denominations and say, right here, see, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. I'm not disagreeing with you. Believing is important. If you don't believe, there's nothing more we can do for you. Faith alone, as James would talk about in James 2, it's dead faith. So faith is important. To believe is so important. If you don't believe, you won't obey. Because we go back up. Once again, he who has believed and has been immersed shall be saved. Without belief, without believing, you will be condemned. That is one sin that there is no forgiveness for. It's unbelief. If you don't believe in Christ and what he had done, and you never come and know Christ, there is no forgiveness for that sin of unbelief. You must believe. Secondly, those who repent. Once again, true repentance is denying oneself, putting off that sin, putting off that old life, and turning to God. Acts 2:38, Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. If one does not repent, then they cannot be baptized. If you're not willing to put off that old self, that old sin, and turn to God, baptism was, you're just being dunked under water at that point. Like an older brother doing it to a younger brother in a pool. Finally, those who confess their faith. Those who confess me before men, I will confess before my Father. Those who deny me before men, I will deny before my Father. Acts chapter 8, verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch making that confession. He confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And on that day, the Ethiopian eunuch received salvation. He was washed. He was immersed for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. And this is not my own interpretation. This is what Scripture says. Very clear. But finally, the final point I want to talk about, and this is a big one, the urgency of baptism. There are those who practice baptism, sure, and most likely not for the right reasons. But they even go a step further and say, well, we'll schedule you for next week. We'll schedule you for October 21st to be baptized. We don't see delays in Scripture. There's urgency. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day they were added about 3,000 souls. That day, 3,000 souls. My back was hurting as I looked at this. Can you imagine? 3,000 souls were added that day. They were immersed for the forgiveness of their sins. On that day. Let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 36. Ethiopian eunuch, another good example. And as they went along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, water, what prevents me from being baptized? The eunuch understood. There's water, what prevents me? He made the confession. He believed, repented, made the confession. And was baptized that day. They went into the water and they came out of the water. He was immersed for the remission of sins. Acts chapter 16, verse 33. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized. He and all his household. He's washing their wounds. Because we see with the jailer, him and his entire household were baptized that same hour, that very hour of the night. There was no scheduled baptism. That very hour of the night. The correct baptism is done immediately. When they are ready, when they have believed, when they have repented, when they have confessed, and they understand, it does not wait. It needs to be done. Now, I know people, and I've had this happen, and I'm sure all of you have heard, people will go to the extremes. Well, what if they have a heart attack before they reach the water? Are they lost? Why are we going to extremes? Show me proof where that has ever happened. And secondly, you're limiting God when you do that. Do you not think God knows the hearts of all? Do you not think God will give them the time to get it done? Absolutely He will. Absolutely He will. You're limiting God when you go to these extremes. I can tell you now, and I remember DJ and my father-in-law, this man who was dying, I think it was brain cancer. DJ and my father-in-law studied with him. And he knew the right thing to do. And he obeyed. But he couldn't walk. He couldn't get up. So they went to the doctors that day. They got something set up, a little, I don't know what you call it, lowers them into the poles. They put them, they got them strapped in and lowered them into the water, and they baptized them. They immersed them for the forgiveness of sins. He understood and he knew it was necessary. It was essential. These extremes need to stop. You need to obey the gospel. There is urgency. This is what baptism, this is what the correct baptism looks like. Baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. It washes away our sins. It's how we make contact with the blood of Christ. But understanding that before one is baptized, they must believe. They must repent. They must confess. But even once you are baptized, there's another step that we must make sure that we are doing, and that is to remain faithful. Hebrews 10:23. That's what we are called to do. A true believer will understand and will want to obey the gospel. It's the only way. Yet so many pull text out and will use it in the wrong way for the wrong reason. Sometimes I wonder to myself, do they treat it like a chore, like a little kid who doesn't want to take a bath? We must obey the gospel. If you are a true believer, if you believe, then you understand I need to obey. There are conditions to be met. Once again, once you believe, you must repent. You must confess. And then, when you fully understand, you are to be baptized. And not next week, not 2 weeks, a month from now, you are to do it that same hour. You are to get it done. There is urgency. Once again, are you a Christian? Or are you one who is still part of the world? Understand, any other baptism that you partook of, you are not a Christian. It has to be the correct baptism. If you have been baptized any other way and not the way the gospel tells us, you are not a Christian. You are still lost. You're still of the world. And now's the time to make that right decision, to truly obey the gospel. If you're not a Christian, I pray that you choose this day to give your life to Christ and to believe, repent, confess, and be immersed for the forgiveness of sins and to put on Christ and to remain faithful. Or if you are a Christian, if you've gone back into the world, there's no need to be baptized again. No. You must repent and renew your walk with Christ and then continued forth, remaining faithful. This is how you do it. So if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then this is the day that you need to come forward and to give your life to Him while we stand and while we sing.